there is a disconnect between availability of services, so that we have these more suburban areas that, while they may have the income, they just don't have the services.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health. You are listening to Into the Fold, the Hogg Foundation podcast. The Hogg Foundation is a mental health grant-making foundation and part of the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more about the history of the Hogg Foundation, as well as our numerous grant programs and other activities, visit us at www.hogg.utexas.edu. And so we are here today with Dr. William Lawson. He is Associate Dean for Health Disparities at the newly created Dell Medical School, and is also, and more relevant for this episode, the newly appointed director of the Sandra Joy Anderson Community Health and Wellness Center at Houston-Tillotson University, an historically black university here in Austin, Texas. And it's the result of a landmark partnership between Houston-Tillotson and the Dell Medical School at UT Austin. And among its among its reasons for being is to systematically address the health and wellness needs of an historically underserved community here in Austin, in East Austin mainly. But their hope is that through some of its innovative approaches to things like integrated healthcare, that it may serve as a model more broadly. And so, Dr. Lawson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, so as of this interview, the Anderson Center hasn't yet officially opened for business. And so one question that I have is, what are the short-term plans for, getting up and running? And when can people expect to see the center open its doors?
Sure. Right now, the building is being built. We anticipate the completed structure this week, and then moving in the equipment, supplies, and support. This is not just a partnership for ours, but also a partnership involving community care, as well as the Austin Travis County Integral Care as well, because part of this activity will be to provide actual clinical services to that community. We anticipate first starting up with setting up a primary care provider system within the center, and that should be happening in the end of November. It already is part of the integrated behavioral care, but long term, hopefully, we will have at the site itself direct behavioral health services that will be embedded within the primary care system, as well as a program that we will actually have outreach to the community to expand access to behavioral health services. One of my roles also is to begin to develop a research structure to begin to understand why some of these disparities exist. And so we will already begin to start projects that will help to better understand why we're seeing these huge disparities, not only in terms of behavioral health services, but also in terms of looking at why we have so many mentally ill incarcerated represented in the criminal justice system, and why some of the general medical conditions, folks are not getting the services that they need, which we think partially is a result of a lack of willingness to accept the services in the way that they're provided, as well as structural factors that worsen access to general medical care.
Okay, so you're coming to us from Howard University, where you were the chair of the psychiatry department the Howard College of Medicine.
Yes.
And so one question that I have is, like, what in your background do you think has prepared you for, you know, the challenges that you're going to face, you know, trying to get this this health center off the ground?
I've had a number of leadership roles, both as in the past. I've been chief of service at a Veterans Administration hospital. I was the medical director for the Department of Mental Health, Substance Abuse, and Mental Retardation for the state of Tennessee. And I, because in the past 15 years, have been the chair of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Howard, where we've had funding to provide and help develop programs to prevent the spread of AIDS in the African American community. And I was also funded to improve access to care for mental health in the District of Columbia.
Okay. And so you only just arrived here in Austin about
so
3 months ago.
Right. So I started the position formally July 1st. But before that, I've had collaborative relationship with King Davis, who's been involved for a number of years. I'm originally from Virginia, and we've often, and I knew him back when he was the director of mental health for the state of Virginia, where we worked collaboratively as well in terms of looking at service accessible issues. And also, I've an ongoing communication with the staff at Houston Tillerson to begin to formulate exactly what we would do once the center was developed.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've lived here in Austin for most of my life, and, you know, I mean, and of course, one thing you can't help but notice is that Austin, you know, unlike D.C., is, you know, a predominantly white, but also, you know, burgeoning urban center, and East Austin has a pretty complicated relationship with the city as a whole, and so I was just curious about, you know, whether you've had much time since you got here to try to get to know the community that the Anderson Center will mainly be serving.
Yeah, one of the impressive things to me is the similarities. I was told also that that I find differences between D.C. and Austin. And as you said, they exist. But there's also incredible similarities. Both D.C. and Austin have shown incredible increase in economic activity and development in the last 4 or 5 years. They're both going through heavy rates of gentrification. D.C. and Austin, African-Americans are moving towards the suburbs, and as a result, the inner-city community has become heavily predominantly white. And with this movement, there is a disconnect between availability of services, so that we have these more suburban areas that, while they may have the income, they just don't have the services. Also, D.C. has a long history of health disparities, as well as Austin. So there's tremendous similarities. Hopefully, what we learned in D.C., some of it can be translated to here. One of the areas that I was especially involved in D.C. and I thought would not be as much of an issue here was substance abuse and AIDS. And yet when I came here, I found that the AIDS rate in Austin is the highest of any other major city in this area. So again, there's a lot of similarities, and hopefully some of the approaches we've had to work there will also be effective here. So I've gone out and met with one of the issues in D.C. has been at prenatal care, and I've met with some of the prenatal care providers to look at some of the mental health issues involved in prenatal care. I've talked to the AIDS providers, going out in the community, work with some of the local community organizations that are involved in, and attended the city council meeting where we discussed how we're going to get more resources to address some of the disparities and have ongoing meetings with some of the leadership, as well as community folks as well. And had a chance to visit the churches we're involved with, working with the churches to help address mental health concerns. I've attended many of the meetings to discuss the problems in terms of the criminal justice system.
Okay. And so it seems to me that a key to the approach that the center will be taking to addressing health disparities is something that you referenced a few minutes ago, which is integration. Or integrated care, and based on my own understanding, you know, that there are at least a few different approaches to that, that providers take. One thing that I was wondering is, what in your mind must integrated care entail, and how do you define that, just for yourself?
Integrated care basically accepts the idea that a person is not a group of specialized organ systems, and that the providers must not be simply limited to their specific departments or disciplines. So integrated care involves a system that be able to treat the whole person. My own focus has been on making sure that mental health and substance abuse services a part of that mix of services, and it's consistent with the recognition of the Affordable Care Act. But also, I think we begin to appreciate how we must also involve social services to make sure that people have access to services, as well as the kind of educational and supportive experiences so that folks who are being delivered these services can maximize their decision-making capacity in terms of how those services are going to be provided. And what I like about the new Dell Medical School is that that is one of its guiding principles, a focus on integrated care, recognizing the whole person, and also recognize that the person is part of a community that the medical school is providing services. And that's also one of the goals of the Anderson Center as well. To begin to involve the community in terms of decision-making, in terms of recognizing what the community needs for services, and being able to deliver those services irrespective of socioeconomic status.
Okay. And so I guess my next question has to do with the governance of the center. It's been understood publicly as a partnership, but so does that mean that the center has its own board of directors, or so I'm just wondering like where exactly it kind of fits administratively with either HT or Dell?
Within the Houston-Tillerson structure, the governance is directly related to the president, who's guided by what we call a guiding coalition that's involved with community leaders, as well as individuals from ACCIC, CommuniCare, as well as Dell Medical Center. My role is, I work directly both with the dean of the medical school, with the president of Houston-Tillerson, and with the director of ATCIC.
Okay. And so, what do you think are some reasonable criteria by which to evaluate the success of the center, let's say in 5 or 10 years?
My long-term criteria is to make sure that it's self-sustaining. The money that's involved is not going to last forever. Either through getting more additional grants, through developing a more effective delivery system, improving the service access, to make sure that this center is sustaining. There's been other programs, centers around the country and around here to, that have tried to do the same thing. And the fact that that's always been hurt them has been that after the initial funding is there, that future funding is not forthcoming. The other is to be able to reduce disparities and work with Mr. Shannon Jones, which is and his access to data. Also, we will working locally in terms of an overall mood center to be able to look at outcomes in terms of psychopathology to see if there's improvement in the community. And we have data from focus groups, and we'll continue to look at qualitative data as well to see if the community satisfaction in terms of services are improved. The idea of how we're going to look at more remote issues, whether or not people return to the city, those are ideas that are works in progress.
Okay. And what would you say at this point that other stakeholders, whether we're talking about, you know, the city of Austin or Travis County, could or might do, you know, to kind of maximize the odds of success, because, you know, you're operating within a bigger ecosystem?
I think one of the things I've noticed is that, first of all, one of the barriers here is the lack, that's the high uninsured rate. And the fact that we do not have Medicaid expansion, which D.C. does have. So that gave a real advantage to us developing programs in the D.C. area. On the other hand, I've been impressed at the resources available in the city of Austin, the wealth of the state, so that there are improved funding sources and programs that we have to link together to change the purpose. Everyone, I think, and I've been impressed at the data collecting system showing that the cost of addressing these problems will be offset by the potential lack of by the income that could result in terms of addressing the services and savings to the city, the community, and individuals. So a real challenge is to, again, to make shows show in terms of their policies, in terms of their strategies, that if we focus on equity, focus on reducing these disparities, that the city will, in the long run, benefit both financially as well as in terms of overall satisfaction because of these interventions. So, again, I'm impressed that most systems here seem to have the data. And now we need to look at how can we get everyone to work together to make sure to recognize that we want to maintain both economically and improve satisfaction in the community to move in the direction of shifting their resources to address these concerns.
Okay. So you are a psychiatrist, and so one question that I have is first, and this may seem almost too basic, like what drove you to becoming a psychiatrist, and why do you think that a psychiatrist in particular is well suited for the position that you now find yourself in?
I started out as an animal psychologist to look at the simplest of systems you could better understand human behavior. Then later on, after a career as a psychobiologist researcher, went to medical school and began to appreciate that working with human beings, that we could address these concerns. And later worked with severely mentally ill, recognized very early that the problems of severe mental illness and research is still confirming this, is not simply finding the right medication, but also find that interventions like psychotherapy, and then later on doing research showing that addressing the whole body, not just the psychological, psychiatric issues, but also the whole body issues are important. When I was in medical school, thinking about going into endocrinology, and an advisor was a psychiatrist who said, you want to just look at thyroids all your life. And the message was very clear, and that is that if you just look at one organ system, you're not going to help people very much. So that was a big driver for me. I came from an underserved community myself, poorest cat in Virginia, and recognized very early that if I don't do anything to help the community, that it would be to look at the whole system. And I think psychiatry is what we find is that people who, many medical students are often torn between going into psychiatry or going into family medicine. Both are very similar, and that both disciplines tend to look at the whole person but for different reasons. Family medicine, you look at different systems. In psychiatry, they look at all of the related behavioral systems that address the concerns that, that influence healthcare. It's an ample opportunity, especially for some integrated care, to show how psychiatrists in particular, because we are trained not just to look at the person in terms of their medical conditions, but also recognize very quickly that if we're going to make a difference, we have to look at human behavior. And psychiatrists tend to be disproportionately in administrative systems in terms of medical systems and also in terms of healthcare delivery teams.
Okay, and so the Anderson Center is housed at HT, mm-hmm. historically black college, mm-hmm. And also, I guess, by definition, one of the oldest kind of black serving institutions in the community. And so what will, you know, HT be doing to ensure that among other things, that there will be opportunities for, you know, for training and professional development for aspiring, you know, African-American health professionals?
One of my tasks coming there was to create a pipeline so that folks could go on to further education. HT is also a private institution, so has a national focus in bringing in individuals who seek out different careers. So I've worked with STEM advisors, obviously looking at UT as a whole, their faculty as potential potential resources to provide opportunities and ideas to provide mentorship to some of the HT individuals. HT itself has a grant from NIH to promote more folks going to medical school. I've worked directly with the psychology department to link them up to other opportunities. And the president is working diligently, especially looking at programs in public health and in physical therapy and as opportunities as well.
Okay. Well, Bill Lawson, I've gone through all of my questions. Is there anything else that's on your mind about the present or the future of the Anderson Center, but also more generally, just what you think that Black East Austin needs at the current time?
I love the theme that they have here. What happens here can change the world. I think that the problem of
it's looking, a UT.
Yeah,
right.
But I see it's not just as UT, but in this whole area. The problems that are existing here are not unique. We're seeing it in New York City. We're seeing, as mentioned, D.C. Folks are looking at models that happen in Philadelphia, throughout the country, and for other countries as well. these kinds of disparity issues have reoccurring, and hopefully some of the solutions we find here we can translate and place in not only all the cities around the country and around Texas, but also have an impact internationally.
All right. Well, Dr. Lawson, thanks so much for joining us, and all the best luck for the Anderson Center and for your time here in Austin.
Thank you.